Let us pray. Living God, with joy we celebrate the presence of your risen word. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, so that we may proclaim the good news of eternal and abundant life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This week in Acts, we read of Paul's vision of a man calling him to the Roman district of Macedonia. There he meets the Gentile woman, Lydia, proclaims to her the good news, and baptizes her household. Reading from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. Listen for God's word. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside by the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you had judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. So ends the reading. Our gospel lesson is set as at a pool of water in Jerusalem that was believed to have healing powers. However, as the story unfolds, we see Jesus healing one who cannot make it to the pool. Reading from John 5, 1-9, listen again for the word of God. "And this, there was the festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, the sheep gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had been there a long time. He said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?' The sick man answered, 'Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me.' Jesus said to him, 'Stand up, take your mat, and walk.' At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath." The word of the God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, we're going to be talking soon in the church about the Vital Congregations Initiative and about the church mission study. And these things are both about the same thing in a way. They're about discerning who you are as a church and what God may be calling you toward. And yes, a mission review and a consequent mission study report are necessary steps before you can even start working to call a new pastor. But they are not just hoops to be jumped through. I've said it before, I think. You need to have a clear picture of where you want to go before you can find a pastor who will help you get there. Now, sometimes, of course, we think we know where we want to go, and then we find out that God has something else in store. Take the Apostle Paul, for an example. Since his fateful, transforming encounter with the risen Christ on the Damascus Road, Paul was always on the move. Right before the visit that we just heard Ken read, he, Paul, along with Silas and Timothy, went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, Asia Minor. When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Well, these place names may mean nothing to us today, but I can tell you those verses describe a journey of over 2,000 miles. So the Spirit, kind of like some divine GPS, recalculating, sends them to the port city of Troas to regroup. And then this vision comes. Paul sees a man standing before him, beseeching him to come over to Macedonia and help us. They head out again across the Aegean Sea and finally get to Philippi. Why Philippi? Well, maybe it's as if Paul's vision had instructed him to go to New York State and he decided to head to Manhattan. Philippi was something like the Big Apple of Macedonia, a major city on the Roman road that linked Byzantium and the East with Rome, an urban center of a Roman colony. They got to Philippi, and right away they did nothing. Or rather, they hung out, trying to get the lay of the land, trying to figure out why the Spirit had led them there, waiting for the Sabbath, when they would usually head for the nearest synagogue. But it appears there was no synagogue in Philippi, which means the Jewish population was small. But they hear of a place of prayer outside the city gates, down by the riverside. Now, I suppose you could argue that when the text says, we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there, it means we spoke to the women and ignored the men. That seems like a stretch. No, it appears that there were only women gathered at this place of prayer. Why? Well, it's fascinating, but fruitless to conjecture. We don't know. We know that Paul and his co-workers sat down and talked with the women, not preaching, but chatting about why they were there, who had brought them there. God talk, gospel talk, witness down by the riverside. And whatever Paul said, well, it seems it's not so much about what he said as about God opening Lydia's heart to hear Paul. And right then and there, down by the riverside, she and her household were baptized. And right then and there, she decided to open her doors as wide as her heart and invite these itinerant mission workers to stay with her. They demurred, it seems. Well, perhaps they were merely being polite. Perhaps they wondered how it would look, three single men staying at the home of a woman, no matter how wealthy or influential she was. In any case, Seems Lydia had to persuade them. And they went home with Lydia and stayed at her house. Who is this Lydia? Well, she was definitely a person of status, a head of household. It's likely that whether she was married, widowed, or divorced, or single, she had, well, maybe she had children, but she had at least had dependents. She was certainly a breadwinner. She was also a foreigner, living there in the European city of Philippi, but originally from Thyatira in Asia Minor. And she was a business person, this dealer in purple cloth, a purveyor, in other words, of luxury goods. For, due to the difficulty and expense of making purple dye, purple cloth was only for the elite, for royalty, rich folks. Lydia was probably a Gentile. For one thing, purple dye was extracted from shellfish, and shellfish, we know, were unclean under Levitical law. So it's likely that hers was a non-Jewish profession, and she came from a Gentile region. But it seems that she is one of those known as a God-fearer, or as Luke puts it, a worshiper of God. One who worshipped the Israelite God, but was not a Jew, and so was on the margin of the faith. So, though we know some things about Lydia, we know her gender and profession and her background, and though it's tempting to label her as powerful or marginalized, as insider or outsider, she is, like most people, hard to pigeonhole. And she is the person, or one of the people, to whom Paul was led by a vision of that Macedonian man pleading for help. And I sometimes think it would have been so wonderful to be there, to be part of the early church, when faith was strong and new and the expectation of Christ's imminent return high. Not like today, right? Because today, we are so worried about our church as it struggles with the same thing that practically every mainline church struggles with today: low membership, declining financial resources. Because yes, we may feel financially secure for now, but the income doesn't come close to meeting the outgo. We're worried about lack of commitment. Why doesn't everyone want to serve on session, or at least a committee? And where are all the young people? We're blessed to have some kids. The thing is, in these past few decades, the world has changed and our culture has changed. I know I say this all the time. There was a time when there was a Christian majority in this country, a majority of people who'd been raised in the church. People were expected to belong to a church and to attend church regularly. Now, many people aren't Christians. And anyway, no one cares where anyone spends their Sunday afternoons, or Sunday mornings, rather, and there are a lot of other things to do. And you know what? I actually think that's good. I mean, look at y'all. Y'all are crazy. You are in church on a holiday weekend, of all things. But shouldn't all our churches be filled with people who want to be here to worship God and be part of God's community, not because your boss or your neighbors expect it? But yes, we'd like the pews and the offering plates to be fuller, and we'd like more people to be actively involved so we can do more, help more, make a difference more. Well, maybe there's something to learn from Paul and Lydia. Paul presents a pretty good model for mission in our time and place. He was open to the Spirit's leading and followed it, even without a clear idea of where he'd end up. He listened and spent time. He found his way to a community he thought might be receptive. When he found them, he listened again. He sat with them and talked with them and told them what had brought him and his friends to that place, shared the story of God at work in their lives and in the world through Jesus Christ. And in time, Paul left them, trusting God to take over and make from this brand new band of believers what God would. Now, Lydia models a different way of doing ministry. This worshiper of God, this respected businesswoman, was already part of a faith community. And she listened to Paul and his friends, and the Lord opened her heart. After she and her household were baptized, she urged the visitors, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." She was the one converted, and in response to that conversion, she opened her heart more. She didn't say, "If you think my faith is real, do something for me." No. Possibly still dripping wet from that riverside baptism, she says, "Let me do something for you. Let me be of service. Come stay at my house. Mi casa es su casa." Lydia will be the founder of a house church. You could call it the First Church of Philippi, church to which Paul will later write, "I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day unto now." From the very first day, that day down by the riverside. So according to the Vital Congregations Manual, the purpose of that initiative is to work alongside leadership and leaders of existing congregations in a process that seeks to help assess, discern, and live into transformative actions that increase vitality through intentional spiritual practices and relational connections. This process takes us deeper into following Jesus Christ, making disciples, and being the vital community of Christ throughout the particular communities and the world. Now, to some of us, that may sound like presby speak, a lot of blah, blah, blah. But whether this congregation takes part in Vital Congregations or simply does its mission study, what's required of you sounds to me like what Paul and his friends and Lydia and hers together were up to. Openness to the Holy Spirit. Prayer. Going out to meet people where they are. Listening to them, telling your own stories, making connections, practicing hospitality, accepting hospitality. In this passage, well, in all of Acts, it is God who is in charge. God who chooses the mission and steers the course and determines the outcome. But Lydia and Paul and friends, they have to buy in. They have to take part. They have to open their hearts, wandering, worshiping, welcoming, willing to let themselves be transformed by God. That is my prayer for us all. As together we listen for God's Spirit, hoping and praying to discern where God is leading us. May it be so. Amen.